Well, let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews in your Bible tonight. Hebrews chapter number 9, and we're just going to look at a very familiar verse for many of us, and a very simple but profound verse. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Here's what it says. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let's look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. We pray you'll use the Bible in our midst tonight. I pray that, Lord, those who are here and Lord, I pray that need to be saved. I pray that they would see their need and I pray you'd save them, Lord. And I pray for Christians, you know, their needs, and Lord, that you'd meet our needs tonight in a mighty way. We just look to you to do it, and we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What is the purpose of a church? You know, I want to preach on the purpose of a church tonight. What is the purpose of a local New Testament church? You know, what is its purpose? You know, it's not to have everybody look at and admire the buildings, you know, and say, oh, aren't those beautiful buildings? Or to come into the auditorium, the sanctuary, and say, oh, wow, what a beautiful looking sanctuary, and so forth. Now, I think that it's great to have a sanctuary, a auditorium that looks nice. Buildings that are nice, and you know, you have them here at McGonigal, and what a blessing, how the Lord has blessed you with such wonderful facilities. But that's not the purpose of a church. The purpose of a church is not to make people feel good, you know, just to, you know, have people come in and have a great feeling. You know, a good feeling, you know, and that's not the purpose of a church. If you want a feeling, I'll tell you how you can get one, okay? Stick your hand in a light socket, you know, and you'll get a good feeling there, you know? But that's not the purpose of a church, that you would go away feeling good. Now, you know, if you go away feeling good, I'm happy for that. But that's not the purpose of the church, to make you feel good. Certainly, that can be one of the blessings of a church in its ministry, and to preach the Word of God. But that's not the purpose. It's not to entertain people. We got a lot of churches that's what they're doing now, is entertaining people. And they, you know, bring all the worldly things in there, and they entertain people. Well, that's not the purpose of a church, you know. That may be the purpose of a nightclub, but that's the purpose of a local New Testament Bible-believing church. It's not to, also, it's not to come and socialize. That's not the purpose of a church, to socialize, to come and talk and tell stories to each other and, you know, experiences that you had and so forth. That's okay to do. You know, I'm glad for the fellowship that we can have in a local church, but that's not the purpose of a church. It's not to come and talk politics, amen, huh? I tell you what, or talk about the weather, you know, we surely can do a lot of talk about that, but that's not the purpose of a church. What is the purpose of a New Testament church? The purpose of New Testament church, I may shock you this statement, but the purpose of New Testament church is the same as an undertaker's parlor. That's the same as the undertaker's parlor. You say, now, what do you mean by that? How are you making that statement tonight? Well, because an undertaker's parlor is there in the community for the purpose of preparing people who have died for burial. Now, a local church is existence is for preparing people for that event before they die, say. So we are both preparing people. The undertaker's parlor, you know, prepare people after they die. A local church is to prepare people for that event before they die. And that's what we want to look at tonight and think about tonight. Our text says we have an appointment. We have an appointment. Now, no one likes to talk about death. You know, it's not the most popular subject on the charts. You know, you know, it's something that we all are going to face. And it's going to happen to us sometime, someplace, and we don't know when it's going to be. And it's a certainty. It's going to happen. And so, you know, though we may not want to talk about it, it's something that we need to face. Every time you breathe, every time your eyelids go down, every time your heart beats, You are getting closer and closer to death. Closer and closer to dying. You see, the purpose of a church is to tell people how to get ready for the most unwelcome, undesirable thing that is in life. And that is of death. So it's a purpose that is a great purpose, because it will prepare us for that unwanted, undesirable thing that's going to take place in our lives. Now, what is death? Death is not when your heart stops beating. They got machines nowadays that can, you know, you can put a guy on a machine and get the heart going again. Say. So it's not when your heart stops beating. It's not that. It's not when you stop breathing. They've got breathing machines now. And they can put you on a breathing machine and keep you going. What is death? Here's what death is. According to James chapter number 2, the book of James, in chapter 2 verse 26, death is when your body and your spirit are separated. When your body and your soul are separated. Say, that's what death is. It's when God takes you out of your body. See, the real you is your soul. Your body is the tabernacle or the tent where the real you lives. And that's the part of you that's going to live forever. Your soul. Say, your body will turn to dust and ashes, but your soul, the real you, is going to live forever and ever. The only way not to die, humanly speaking, is to never be born. Never be born. That's the only way not to die, humanly speaking. Say, the Bible teaches very plainly that. You see, only part of you that will die is your body. You know, I was born August 20th, 1940. I don't look that old, amen? But I was born August 20, 1940, and you know what? I didn't exist before that. I did not exist before that date. But from August 20, 1940, I'm going to forever exist. And dear friend, whatever your birthday is, you didn't exist before that birthday, but you're going to exist forever and ever since that birthday. You're going to go into eternity, and the Bible says it's appointed once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, I want you to see tonight some things that local churches need to be telling people about death. And I want you to see these things. They're in the Word of God. These truths are in the Word of God. And I want you to see some things that people need to hear about this matter of death. And so let's look at them tonight. That local church ought to be telling people about death. Number one, a local church ought to be telling people about the promise of death. Now, where is the promise of death? Well, you go way back in the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, and God had put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He had created them. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, you find the first mention of the word death in the Bible. And we find it says in 16 and 17 of Genesis 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So God put Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden, Garden of Eden, and there were many trees in that garden, and God said, of every one of these trees, you are freely able to eat, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the promise of God. Thou shalt surely die when you eat of that tree. And so there we find the promise of death. If Adam and Eve were to take and eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die. And God promised that. He said, thou shalt die. So we see what the Bible says concerning the promise of death. But every local church needs to be telling people about the cause of death. Now, what causes death? You see, God put Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden, and you know what? He made them in His image. Do you know you're made in the image of God? Say, you're not an animal. You were not made in the image of an animal, even though the evolutionists would teach us that. Even though many of our supposedly sophisticated colleges and universities teach that, it's not true. You were made in the image of God, and you're going to live forever. God made man in his image, and God gave us a will. We can make a choice. We're not robots. God gave you a will, a wonderful thing. And God gave you a will. We're not robots. We're not controlled by our, genes or something like that. That's not what controls us. We are controlled by our will, by our choices, what we decide. Say, we are controlled by our will. And God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and you know what? They had a choice. They could exercise their will and obey God and not take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or they could exercise their will and disobey God and take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of course, most of us, I'm sure all of us realize what they did. They used their will to disobey God, and they sinned against God. That's what sin is. It is willful choosing to disobey God, and that's what they did in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says they died. Death is the result of sin, not a sickness. You are not going to die because of an accident, a car accident. You're going to die because of sin. You're not going to die because you get cancer. You're going to die because of a sin. Sin is the reason why people die. Now, when Adam and Eve died in the Garden of Eden, they died in two ways. Number one, they died spiritually. Immediately that took place when they took of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see, before they made that choice of sin, the highlight of their day was when God came in the garden and walked with them and fellowship with them. Oh, they were so comfortable in God's presence. They so much desired and enjoyed the presence of God. But you know, when sin got in their life, just one sin. Just one sin got in their life. You know what? They hid from God. You know, that tells us what happens when sin gets in our life, doesn't it, Christian, huh? You know, when sin gets in your life, you know what? You don't like to come to church that much anymore. You know, when sin gets in your life, you're not picking up the songbook and singing with gusto. When sin gets in your life, you know what? You don't have time to serve the Lord anymore. Sin gets in your life, you know, it puts a wall between you and fellowship with God. And that's exactly, what is that? That's spiritual death. You see, in Adam and Eve's case, it's spiritual death. And when a Christian gets sin in their life, they're living like they are spiritually dead. They're not spiritually dead because they're saved, but they're living like they're spiritually dead because that sin is keeping them from being what God wants them to be. Spiritually alive, serving the Lord. They're living like they're spiritually dead. But then the Bible says that Adam and Eve died physically. Well, they didn't die right away, did they? They began to die physically. And do you know something? When you and I came in this world, we were spiritually dead. We were spiritually dead because Adam and Eve are our forefathers, and they are our people that we come from. And as a result of their sin, it passed down to us. And we were born in this world not spiritually alive, not wanting to love God and serve God, walk with God, not feeling comfortable with reading His Word and obeying His Word. We were born spiritually dead. But, you know, also we are in the process of dying physically. You know, I'm not able to hear like I used to. I was with some of my grandkids a year or so ago, and I don't know what was going on, but we had something that, you know, and they said, "Do you hear that, Grandpa?" I said, "I don't hear a thing." Every one of those kids heard it, but I didn't hear it. Why? Because, you know, I'm in the process of dying. And one of the first things that happens as you get older, your sense of hearing. That's why people have hearing aids. That's why pastors should get one. See, he's in the process of dying. Say, and you need some hearing aids now and then. I never used to have these things. I didn't have to have these things. But now I gotta have them to be able to read. Why is that? Because I'm in the process of dying physically. Now, there's two reasons for that. Number one, because of the fact of our birth. We were born spiritually dead. Romans 5:12 says, why is that so? Romans 5:12 says, wherefore by one man sin, death entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What kind of death he's talking about? He's talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death came into this world by one man, Adam and Eve. And you know what? Adam, you see, in Adam we sinned and we did, you know, as he did. In Adam, we're in Adam, and we sinned as well, and that spiritual death has come upon us, and that's why we are in the process of dying physically, and that's why we're spiritually dead. Secondly, we are in the process of dying physically because of our choices. We have chosen to sin individually. We can't just point to Adam and Eve, but we have chosen to sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One time a fellow was talking to an individual who believed in sinless perfection, and he said he hadn't sinned in 6 years. And this fellow who heard him say that went, ha, 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 you know. And the fellow got mad at him because of the way he responded to what he said when he said he hadn't sinned in 6 years. Well, right then and there he sinned, amen. See, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know something? There's something else that the Bible tells us about death that every local church needs to let people know about. Every local church has the purpose to let people know something else about death. And that is, the local church has the purpose to let people know about the kinds of death. You need to know about the kinds of death. People need to know the kinds of death. There are three kinds of death in the Bible. Number one, there's what we call physical death. That's obvious. I mean, all of us are aware of that. I travel all across the country, you know, and I've been in many states, many cities, you know, and countries over the years. And everywhere I go, there are funeral homes. Everywhere I go, there are hearses. Everywhere I go, there are cemeteries. Why? People are dying physically. That is the first kind of death that is a result of sin. They're dying physically. That's, you know, obvious. I like to go through cemeteries now and then. I like to just walk through and read the epitaphs. And it's interesting what you see on some epitaphs. And, you know, it's amazing. The one thing I've observed doing that is that death is no respecter of persons. Death is no respecter of ages. I've seen on the tombstone such and such a time they're born. And man, this guy lived 80, 85 years. Some up higher than that. But then I've seen on the tombstone, born such a time, about 10 years later, they died. So you young people, don't ever think, oh, hey, I got a long time before I die. You don't know. You don't know. You didn't know when you came to this world, and you're not going to know when you're going to leave it. Dear friend, the Bible tells us that death is no respecter of ages, no respecter of how much money you have or don't have, no respecter of your education level, no respecter of where you live, the kind of house you live in, how many cars you drive. It's no respecter of persons. But there's another kind of death, and that is spiritual death. Now, this is the way we are born, as we've mentioned already. We are born this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, we're born in the flesh. It's our fleshly birth. That's what, you know, this is flesh right here. You put your hand, that's flesh. Do you know that that cannot enter the kingdom of God? Flesh can never please God. Your flesh, in your flesh, you can never please God. Why? Because you're spiritually dead. And you know something? God's not going to let anything into heaven that's spiritually dead. Why? Because there's no death up there. You cannot be in heaven spiritually dead. You have to become alive to be in heaven. Spiritual death is the second kind of death that the Bible talks about that's the result of sin. Thirdly, the third kind of death is eternal death. What is eternal death? That's when you do nothing about your spiritual death. You do nothing about it. I mean, you are born in the world and you do something about the fact that you're not educated, so you go to school. You do something about your need of a job, so you get a job. You do something about the need of a car, so you buy a car. You do something about your need of companionship, so you get married. And, you know, you do something about those things. But spiritual death is going through life. without ever doing anything about your spiritual death. You just go through life, get educated, married, have children, work, retire, go down to Florida and live in beautiful sunshiny weather, and you die. And you die eternally because you didn't do anything about your spiritual or your spiritual death. You never did anything about your spiritual death. You know what the greatest trial and test in your life is going to be? The greatest trial and test in your life and in anybody's life is, what are they going to do with the truth of the Word of God when they hear it? What are you going to do with the truth of the Word of God that says you're spiritually dead? What are you going to do with the truth of the Word of God that says that you're lost because you're spiritually dead? What are you going to do with the truth of the Word of God that says no one is born saved, no one is born a Christian, no one is born physically alive unto God? What are you going to do with that truth? I'll never forget when I heard that truth. You know, my mother worked as a waitress in a hotel. And there was a lady there that was really burdened for my mother. And she talked to my mother about the Lord. And, you know, knowing the Lord. Well, my mother didn't quite understand it all. She thought she was talking about religion. She wasn't talking about religion. The world difference between religion and Christ. And so my mother, she was just familiar with religion. She had it up here with religion. She had it up to here. I mean, she just fed up. She wanted nothing to do with religion. People say to me sometimes, oh, I don't want to hear about religion. I say, good, I don't want to hear about either. I say, I'm not going to tell you anything about religion. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. So when I talk to people, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about religion tonight, folks. I'm talking about Jesus. So, you know, my mother, she was invited to go to a revival meeting. My hometown, I was raised on Spokane, Washington. And she went to that revival meeting with this lady that she had met at work. And you know, my mother heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heard the truth of the Word of God. She was confronted with God's truth. That she was a sinner. And that she was lost and on her way to hell. But that Jesus died for her. And Jesus could solve that sin problem she had. And Jesus could make her alive unto God. And that night, 46 years old, my mother walked down the aisle into the arms of Jesus. Amen. And got saved. And I'll never forget, she came home. I was raised in a trailer. Maybe that's why God called me to trailer pulling evangelism. Amen. My mother stood in the doorway of that little trailer. And I'll never forget, as I looked at my mother standing in the doorway. I didn't go with her that night. But I saw her standing in the door of that trailer. And I thought, Mom, what happened to you? You see, there was a peace on my mother's face. You know, your countenances show when you're not right with God. And your countenance shows when you are. Remember when Cain sinned and God said, why is your countenance fallen? When sin gets your life, it's revealed by your countenance. But when Jesus comes in and when you're right with Him, it's shown in your countenance. And I looked at my mother and I saw peace. My mother had a hard life. She had three different men in her life and they all were not the men they should have been. My mother had a hard life. I was born. I had two brothers. Two half-brothers. And you know, my mom had a hard life, had to work, take care of us three boys. And I'll tell you something, as I saw my mother's face, that was the first time I'd ever seen such a radiant countenance in my mother that night. And I said, Mom, what happened to you? She said, Gary, I don't know how to explain it. But I came and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And she said, it's like 100 pounds rolled off my shoulders. That was the weight of all her sin. You can pile up a lot of sin in 46 years. And my mother was stooped down with the guilt of all those sins. But that night, in a second, in a moment, when she looked to Jesus, I want to tell you something, all those sins rolled down and they're still falling down. Amen. They're still falling down. They're buried in the deepest sea, never to remember them against her. Oh, I thank God. And, you know, I tell you, my mother looked at me and said, Gary, I want you to go with me tomorrow night. And I tell you what, I said, I want to go. And she said, good, you're going to go whether you want to or not. And I said, Mom, I want to go because there was something missing in my life. There was an emptiness there. I was always saying, what's next? I thought if I'd get me a motorcycle, you know, that would fill up that vacuum. It wasn't that. I got me a motorcycle, and I'll tell you what, I found out it's not fun to have a motorcycle and drive to work in winter. I let that thing go. I thought it was sports. I thought it was bikes, you know. I thought it was those kind of things. I even thought it was sin, that if I just get involved in some sin, that would fill that vacuum. And I did that. It didn't fill the vacuum. It only made it worse. Only made a bigger hole in my life. And I was always saying, what's next? And I said, Mom, I want to go. And I went that next night. And I was confronted with the truth of the Word of God. I was confronted with the truth from the Bible that I was a sinner. I was confronted with the truth as that preacher preached that I was on my way to hell. And I was gloriously confronted with the truth that Jesus died for me and could save me from my awful, awful destiny as a sinner and eternal hell. And that if I would simply come and put my trust and total dependence in what He did on that cross at Calvary to save me, He would totally and completely save me. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget, as a 16-year-old teenage boy walking down that aisle, it was a huge auditorium. There were about 3,000 to 5,000 people there. And I was as shy as the shy. And I'll tell you something, but I wanted peace in my heart. I wanted to know that I was going to heaven and not to hell. And that night, Jesus Christ came into my life. And I found out as I was confirmed the truth of the Word of God, that I didn't have to have eternal death continually on me. That I could get rid of eternal death and get eternal life in its place. My friend, you're being confronted with truth tonight. The truth of the Word of God. What are you going to do with the truth? Are you going to reject it and turn from it? Thank God my mother didn't. I'm so glad she didn't, because you know what? If she would have, she wouldn't have invited me to go that next night. And I wouldn't have gotten saved. I wouldn't have been confronted with the truth. My friend, you're hearing the truth. The biggest test in your life is going to be this. What are you going to do with the truth of the Word of God? What are you going to do with the truth of the Word of God? See, eternal death is not doing anything about your spiritual life, your spiritual death, not doing anything about your spiritual death. And when you hear the truth of how you can become spiritually alive by accepting Christ your Savior, you say no. I hope you say yes like my mom did. Oh, the peace. I'll never forget the peace that came to my mom's life. The countenance and the change. I'll never forget the night Jesus came into my heart. I haven't said what's next since. I was always saying what's next. I haven't said it since. Jesus fills your life with abundant life now. He not only gives you eternal life now, so that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, but He gives you abundant life right now. Jesus said, I've come to give them life, and life more abundantly. You can have an abundant life in the midst of a world that's so upside down. A world that is just confused so greatly. You can have abundant life in your soul tonight. If you'll take the truth of the Word of God and you'll receive it. It may be bitter in your mouth, but I'll tell you, you swallow the truth of the Word of God, and it's so good when you get it inside. Oh, it's so satisfying, and it's so healing, and it's so comfortable, because you were made to be right with God. You were made to walk with God. And what happens, you become alive unto God so you can walk with Him. Dead things can't walk with God. God's eternally alive. When you trust Christ, you become alive to God so you can walk with Him and talk with Him. That's the way God made you. You'll never be happy apart from it. You'll never be totally satisfied apart from God Almighty. And I'll tell you something, the worst thing about hell is not the fire. The worst thing about hell, there's no God there. The greatest suffering the souls of people in hell will experience is there's no God. My friend, become spiritually alive tonight. Receive the truth. Respond to the truth. There's one more thing here. Another thing I want you to see about death that every local church needs to tell people about. They need to tell people about the attitudes of death. Now, there are certain attitudes of death. Actually, there's two, basically. There is a wrong attitude towards death, and there's a right attitude towards death. Let's look at the wrong attitude first of all. The wrong attitude is a casual attitude. So what? You know, you die, you just turn to dust and ashes, that's it. That's a casual attitude. I don't have to be concerned about it. You know, I'm just like a dog. An animal dies and that's it. You're not a dog. You're not an animal. You've been created in the image of God. You will never die. You're going to exist for all eternity. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, our text, it's appointed men once to die. But it's not there. It says, but after this, the judgment. You're going to face the judgment of God. And, oh, dear friend, you're going to live as long as God lives. Oh, don't be casual about this matter of dying. Because when you die, you either go eternally into heaven or eternally into hell. Don't be casual about it. It's very, very important that you realize that death is something that does not end all. It's just the beginning. Because you go into eternity. And that's forever and ever and ever. Then secondly, there are people who have this attitude about death. And that is an indifferent attitude. Oh, well, I'll take care of it some other time. I got so many things to do, preacher. I got this to do. I got that to do. I got to get home tonight. And I got to scrub my floor. And I've got to bake some things for the family. And I just got too many things to do. It's kind of like that man in Luke chapter 12. He said, I'm going to go out and build barns and build greater ones. And I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. He was indifferent to the fact that he didn't realize how long he was going to live. He didn't know that he was going to have lots of time in the days ahead. He did not know that. And the Bible says in Luke 12 that that very night, his soul was required of him. Say, you don't know, but what tonight may be your final time on this earth. Don't be indifferent. Don't be indifferent to the matter of death. Because you don't know when you're going to depart from this life. You will. We don't know how long. None of us. So don't be indifferent about the fact that you're going to die. Thirdly, there's another wrong attitude, and that is a regretful attitude. A regretful attitude. That's an attitude that says, it was just too soon. I died too soon. Had all kinds of plans, all kinds of things. But you know what? You never got those plans accomplished because death came and interrupted those plans. A regretful attitude. His attitude says, it was just too sudden, preacher. Oh, it was too sudden. I just didn't realize that it was going to come that fast and that quick. I just didn't realize it. Too sudden. Lord, if I'd had more time. Lord, if I would have known it was going to be that quick, that soon, I would have done something about it. Oh, the regretful attitude that people have when they die and face God. It's not going to do any good to say, Lord, if I could just have some more time. You won't have any more time. Time's over and you're in eternity. A regretful attitude is an attitude that says, you know what? It's too final. It's too final. This matter, my dying is too final. I can't change anything. I can't change any relationships with anybody. I can't change anything. You see, there's no second chance to go through death. There's no dress rehearsal for death. Dear friend, I want to tell you something. It's the wrong attitude to come to the end of your life and realize that you can't change anything. And you wish you could. You wish you could. And then there's that regretful attitude that says, it was too real. Life's over. I can't do anything more. My life's gone. You know, word to the Christian here, your life's soon going to be over, Christian. You don't know how much more time you got. What are you doing with your life? You going to waste your life? You going to waste your time? Oh, dear friend, a regretful attitude can be an attitude in the life of a Christian who gets away from God and stays in a backslidden condition and they waste their life and Jesus comes or they die and it's over. There's nothing else they can do for the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing, folks. When we get to heaven as Christians, I know what we're going to say when we get there. I know what we're not going to say. You know what we're not going to say? We're not going to say this. I just read my Bible too much. I just went to church too much. You know, I tell you, I shouldn't have really given that money to that church. I mean, I could have spent it for myself and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to say that, friend. You know what we're going to say, those of us who are saved? We're going to say, oh, I wish I'd given him more. I wish I'd given him more. Oh, dear friend, don't have a wrong attitude towards dying. Don't have a wrong attitude. But then there's a right attitude towards death. There's a right attitude. Now, what's your right attitude towards death? That's an attitude that says, you know what? This thing's coming. I don't know when it is, but I want to be ready for it. I want to prepare for it. I want to defeat death. I want to conquer death. You know you can conquer death. That's why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He conquered death. He came forth from the grave. And you know what? He can enable you to conquer death too. You can conquer death. Paul the Apostle conquered death. He can say in 1 Corinthians 15, he can say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell you what, when you have Christ your Savior, you die. It's not tragedy. It's triumph. Because you go home to glory. Go home to that place that God's preparing for those who have become spiritually alive by receiving Christ their Savior. Oh, dear friend, prepare for death. How do you prepare for death? How do you prepare for it ahead of time? You prepare for it ahead of time. You can't prepare for it after you die. It's too late then. You have to choose to prepare for it ahead of time. How do you prepare for death? You do it by believing two things. Very simple. By believing two things. By believing what the Bible says about you in this life. What's the Bible say about you? You're a sinner. You're lost. You can't save yourself. You can't do anything to take care of your sins. The only one who can do anything for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe what the Bible says about you, that you're a lost sinner on your way to hell because of your sins. But secondly, you need to believe in this life what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. In this life, you have to believe it. It'd be too late after you die. You have to choose to believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ in this life. You see, it's not a church that gives you victory over death. It's not a religion that gives you victory over death. If that was so, Jesus would never have had to die on the cross. If you could have victory over death by your church, if you could have victory over death by your baptism, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on that cross. Dear friend, there is no conquering of death through baptism, through a church, through any church, a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church, a Methodist church. I don't care what denomination talk about. There's none of them that can give you victory and conquer death. The only one that can enable you to conquer death is Jesus Christ, because he's got nail prints in his hands and his feet. He went to the cross, and on that cross, he took your sin and my sin, and he paid the price for our sin. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 1:12, as many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God. John 5:24, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, my friend, it's Jesus only. My wife and daughter sang a beautiful song tonight. Jesus can. Only Jesus can give you victory over death. I can't do it. The Pope can't do it. A priest can't do it. A preacher can't do it. You can't do it. Only Jesus can. He can give you victory over death. I've been preaching for 50 years, over 50 years, preaching. And you know what? We've had many people come to receive Christ as our Savior in our meetings like this, all across the land in all these years. And you know why they came to Jesus? One reason. They believed what the Bible said about them, that they were sinners, and there's nothing they can do about their sin. And they believed what the Bible said about Jesus Christ, that he could set them free from eternal death and make them spiritually alive. That's why they came to Jesus Christ. One time a preacher had a dream, and he dreamed that he went into hell, and he sees people in hell, and he asks this question, are there any Baptists down here? And the answer came back, yes. Any Catholics down here? The answer came back, yes. Any Lutherans? Yes. Any Presbyterians? Yes. Any Methodists? Yes. Every denomination you think of, the answer came back, yes. Man, he woke up and then he fell back to sleep. And he dreamed he went to heaven. He saw that happy throng in heaven. And he thought, well, I'm going to ask the same question I asked down in hell. I'm going to ask it up here in heaven. And he said, are there any Baptists up here? No. Any Lutherans up here? No. Any Catholics up here? No. Any Methodists? No. Every denomination you can think of came back. The answer came back, no. And he said to a bright shining angel standing there, he said, well, how did these people, all these happy throng people get here? And the answer came back loud and clear. They came to Jesus. And they received him as their personal Lord and Savior. There's one more thing that every church needs to tell people about death. One more thing, and that is every church needs to tell people about the time of death. Why is that, the time of death? Because people think they have lots of time. I got lots of time to get ready for death. I'm not planning on dying for a long time. Do you know something? Death will come even if you don't think it's time for it. You can stand and look death in the face and say, get out of here, death. It's not time for you, and it's not going to stop death. Dear friend, you may think you got lots of time. You don't know how much time you have. Listen. Listen. When you go to die, will it be heaven or will it be hell? If you were to go home and you were to take your last breath tonight, where would you be? It depends on one thing. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Dear friend, tonight you need to receive him tonight while you have the opportunity to receive him. Why? Because 60 people die every time your heart beats. Because every time the clock ticks, someone dies. Because 3,600 people die every hour. Because 86,400 people die every single day. And you know what? They weren't expecting it. They weren't expecting it. Because 30 million people die every year. Because death has a 100% success rate. Everyone who dies, dies. The only person that that's not true of is Jesus Christ. He came forth from the dead. Not every person that's got cancer dies. Not every person that's got leukemia dies. But every person that dies, dies. Oh, dear friend, you need to receive Jesus Christ tonight because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. When is your appointment? You don't know. Are you ready for it if it's tonight? Are you ready for it if it's tonight? Years ago, there was a great evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody. He was over in England preaching. And after the service was over one night, he's talking, to people. And he's about the last one out of the church. And so he wanders into the auditorium to pick up something. Maybe it's an overcoat or something. As he looks in the auditorium, he sees the outline of someone sitting there. At least he thinks of someone sitting there. And so he walks down the aisle a little bit. And sure enough, there's a man sitting there. And he said, sir, I don't know why you're still here. We had the service long been over. And we're going to have another one tomorrow night. If you weren't here and you thought the service was yet to come, we've already had it. But tomorrow night we're having another one. I invite you to come back. He said, Mr. Moody, I was here. You were? Yes, I was here. He said, Mr. Moody said, well, how come you're still here? He said, because I don't know for sure if I was to die where I'd go. And I'm concerned about that. Mr. Moody said, well, would you like to know for sure you'd go to heaven, not hell? And that man said, yes, I would. And Mr. Moody opened up the Bible and led that man to Jesus Christ. And he personally received Jesus Christ as Savior. And he went home that night saved. He went home prepared if his appointment to die was to be that night. Well, it didn't happen that he died that night, but the next day he went off to work, and he worked in a coal mine. He's down in the coal mine, and all of a sudden there's a horrible explosion. And they're bringing people out of that coal mine. Some are on stretchers already dead. Some are on stretchers just hanging on to life barely. And one of those men that come out of that coal mine that is just barely alive was the man whom Mr. Moody the night before led to receive Christ as his Savior. He was mumbling something. He had a smile on his face, and he was mumbling something. Someone got down to see and hear what he was saying. And you know what they heard? That man was saying this: thank God I settled it last night. Thank God I settled it last night. My friend, you need to settle tonight that when you die, you're going to heaven and not to hell. God help you to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in our hearts and lives. And Lord, those who need to settle where they're going to spend eternity, Lord, I pray that you'd help them settle it tonight. Help them to receive Christ. Help them not to reject the truth they've heard. The greatest test and trial in their life is going to be, what are they going to do with the truth of the Word of God when they're confronted with it? And Lord, I pray that you'll help them to respond to the truth of the Word of God tonight and come and receive Christ as their Savior. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Let me ask this question tonight. How many can say this? Brother Gilmore, I know for sure if I was to die tonight, I'd go to heaven and not to hell. Now, wait a minute. I'm not asking if you hope. I'm not asking if you think. How many can say, preacher, Brother Gilmore, I know from the Bible, I can give you a Bible reason why I know. If I was to die right tonight, I'd go to heaven and not to hell. If you can say that honestly and truthfully, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you slip that hand right up in there high and hold it there? Be honest, though. Don't lie. Please don't lie to God. Liars are friars. Don't lie to God. All right. Thank you so much. You can put your hand down. Is there someone here tonight who said, preacher, I had to be honest. I couldn't raise my hand. I do not know that for sure. But I'll tell you something, preacher. I would like to know that. I would like to know that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven and not hell for all eternity. Oh, dear friend, you can know it. That's what the Bible has been written for, that you might know how you can have eternal life instead of eternal death. I wonder how many would say, preacher, you know what? I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I'd like to know for sure when I die, I'm going to be in heaven for all eternity. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? If that's you, would you slip that hand right up in the air and high and hold it there for a minute and say, preacher, I'd like to know that for sure. Yes, there in the back. Yes, right down here. Anybody else? There are two. Anybody else? Yes, there's three. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I would like to know for sure from the Bible that when I die, I'm going to heaven, not to hell. Couldn't honestly raise my hand and say, I know that, but I'd like to know it. Just raise your hand high. Would you lift it up? When you raise it, you may put it down, ma'am. Thank you so much. And there in the back, yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Say, preacher, remember me in the prayer. I'd like to know that for sure. Here's my hand. There have been three. Would there be four? Would there be another one who would raise a hand and say, preacher, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Would you lift that hand right tonight? Anybody else along with these three? Anybody else along with these three? All right, here's what I want you to do. Let's all stand together. Everyone standing, no one leaving, no one looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song invitation. And if you raise a hand, and there were three, a lady right down here and a lady over here, and I think one in the back, and you raise a hand. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. When we start singing that song invitation, I want you to slip out from where you're standing, come right down here, meet Pastor Roberts. He'll be right here at the front. And say, Pastor Roberts, I would like to know for sure from the Bible that I'm going to heaven when I die and not to hell. And we'll have a trained person worker, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, take you to a quiet place, show you right from the Bible how you can know that for sure as you leave this building tonight. So if you raise a hand, the moment we start singing, you're amongst friends, people love you, care for you, we'll rejoice with you. And you just come right down and meet the pastor. And we'll be so thrilled. We'll be so thrilled. So if you raise your hand, when we start singing, you slip out and come. Father, we have preached your word. And Lord, I pray that tonight, these three individuals, Lord, you'll give them courage to do what's right. Give them courage to do what they'll wish they'd have done. And be so glad they did when they get to heaven. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help them to come and get saved tonight. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Number